This is Kerry Williams, and welcome to today's Picture Parenting Podcast. Today I want to talk to you about the importance of breaking the will of our children in discipline, but making sure never to break their spirit. You know, when you think about that term spirit, I always think about a spirited horse. I've never been much of a horseman. I've ridden once or two times, and one of the scars on my body is because of riding a horse and not knowing how to control him. And he went underneath a tree, and I reached out and grabbed a limb and fell off and scraped my arm. And so my personal experiences with horses aren't much, but I can tell you I've watched a lot of Westerns, and I know the very best horse is the horse that shows obedience but has a lot of spirit. He's got a lot of potential. And when it comes to our children, I know Lenora and I, when we were raising our kids, we wanted our kids to have the ability to conquer the world. We wanted our kids to be leaders. We wanted our kids to be strong and people to look to them and with admiration because of their abilities, their talents, and the strength of their character. We wanted our kids to be able to stand up for what they believed in. And all of that requires a sense of character, because it requires a spirit that's alive and a spirit that is self-confident, a spirit that can take charge and not just kind of cower back to the rear view of everything in life. So we wanted to raise our kids to be obedient, but at the same time, to have their own minds and to be spirited in that. And so as we did, you know, we made a lot of mistakes along the way. Parenting, there's only one book and in regard to parenting that's ever been written that's absolute, and that's the Word of God. But even that, some of the things written and shared with us, they're principles. They're at times somewhat vague and not specific. So we're left up to our own wisdom to make application in specific circumstances. So I want to share with you what I think are four important points today about how we should try to break the will of our children. In other words, get that rebellion, get that willfulness out of them through firm discipline, but at the same time, make sure never to crush their spirit. The first thing we have to recognize is obedience is never the end objective. Obedience is always a tool for the heart, a tool to mold and to form the heart. And it's also a tool through which the heart can be measured. You see, we get all of our parenting advice from the Lord. And we also get our example from the Lord. And we see how he's dealt with us. And when we look over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, in the text that I've told you before, I think is the one why text in all the Bible. Why does man exist? Why did God go to all this trouble? He says, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God, he led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." Now, it tells us there that God uses the heart as a prism. He uses the heart as a window to be able to see what through the commandments, what our heart truly is all about. So those commandments are not an end of them unto themselves. God doesn't command us to obey and just look for our obedience simply because he wants us to do what he told him to. No, the commandments are a form of communication through which we show God something. We show him what is in our heart. That's why Jesus would say, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." That obedience is a reflection of our heart. So you see, when we're molding our children, when we're forcing them through discipline to be obedient to the will of their mother and father and to the will of God, it's not just for the end result of having kids that obey or being able to show them off to others that we have control over them. The end result is through that obedience to mold and to transform their heart into the kind of people who care about the kind of things we know that they should. So obedience isn't the ultimate objective. It's a means to that objective. The second thing that's important to note is that rebellion in Scripture is not tolerated. Now, our God is abundantly, abundantly forgiving. How many times have you made the same mistake over and over and over? And aren't we, each one of us, grateful that our God is long-suffering, that He's patient, that He loves us with all of His heart, and there's never anything from which we can't come back if we'll just turn our heart to Him? That's the message of the story of the prodigal son, that father was always waiting, and as soon as the son returned, no matter how far he'd been, no matter how far he'd fallen, He's always welcome back with open arms. That's our God. But God does not tolerate rebellion. You see, when we look in Hebrews chapter 10, there's a text that's most often quoted in reference to attendance, trying to encourage folks to attend church, to be a part of a church family. And it says in verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching." And then verse 26 says why it's so important for us to attend services, to be a part of a church family. He says, "For if we sin willfully after we received knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins." Now, I heard that interpreted when I was growing up. Well, if you're sinning willfully, then that means that you know you're sinning. I don't think that's what it means at all. In fact, it can't be, because we look in Scripture about the confidence we can have in our faith if we're walking in the light, if we're walking in the Spirit, not walking in the flesh or in darkness. And we know, I mean, if you've been a Christian very long at all, sin just doesn't sneak up on us that much. Somewhere in the back of our mind, now we may push it out of our mind, we may put it aside, but somewhere we know that we are sinning. And so it's not talking about sin that's done without any knowledge of it. And we know this too from so many stories from the Scriptures. One that always amazes me is the story of Josiah. You remember Josiah was one of the greatest kings. In fact, the Scriptures say that there was no king like him that would come before or be after him, who loved the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yet Josiah, he was so righteous, so good, and he absolutely served the Lord with all of his heart. He tore down all of the altars, all of the different methods of pagan worship, and he did that because he had found the book of the law of God as a boy and devoted his entire life to serving God. However, when you look in 2 Kings chapter 23, we note the end of Josiah's life, where it says, verse 28, "Now the rest of the acts of Josiah, all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles, the king of Judah? In the days of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, he went to the aid of the king of Assyria to the river Euphrates, and King Josiah went against him, and Pharaoh Necho killed him at Megiddo when he confronted him. Then his servants moved his body in a chariot from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem." Now, this story really comes to light when we compare it over to the account of 2 Chronicles chapter 35, because it gives us more information there and says that when Josiah wanted to go up against King Necho, it says messengers came from Necho and said, "What have I to do to you, king of Judah? I have not come against you this day, but come against the house which I have war, for God commanded me to make haste. So refrain from meddling with God who is with me, lest he destroy you." Now, you might think that Josiah would assume that a king of a pagan nation is lying about the Lord telling him, but he didn't. Because it says in verse 22, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but he disguised himself so that he might fight with him, and did not heed the words of Necho from the mouth of God. So they came to fight. And then the archers," it says in verse 23, "shot King Josiah." So here's the man that the Bible said in 2 Kings 23, the highest compliment that could possibly be stated. Because it tells us there that God saw him as one who loved the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, and he was buried with his fathers in honor as a man of God. Yet he died in a sin. And it was a sin he was well conscious of because he hid himself intentionally from Necho, and it's implied there from God. So this idea that willful just means that we simply know what we're doing versus not knowing we're sinning, it doesn't mean that. So what does it mean? Well, willful means the exact thing we think it does when we're walking through the grocery store. And I've heard people say this very statement. You see a kid who's throwing a fit because he wants a candy, and his mom's trying to calm him down in her embarrassment. But then that child is just going crazy and yelling and screaming and pulling their hair and reaching for things, and the mother's trying to threaten. The mother's doing everything in her power to threaten and to console. And we say, what a willful child. What do we mean by that word willful? It means rebellious. Our God has never tolerated rebellion. And there's a difference. You know the difference. When your child falls short and they're humble about it, that's different than when they're rebellious. There's a big difference between a child being pressured by friends to do what they know they're not supposed to do and a child saying, I don't care what my mom and dad want. I'm going to do what I want to do. That is rebellion. And that needs the most firm form of discipline. The third thing we see is that God has always wanted strong, spirited children. Our God doesn't want us to be a people who are just totally cowardice and totally just not having any ability to lead or self-confidence or to stand up. God's always wanted his people to stand up. He'll tell us in the New Testament, contend ye earnestly for the faith. Some of the greatest heroes of the Bible, they were meek, but they were not weak. You look at Moses, who would stand before Pharaoh and demand, you will let my people go. You look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who they stand before the most powerful man in the world and say, we will not bow down to this which you have set up, O king. But we believe that our God can deliver us from the fiery furnace. And even if he does not, we will still never bow down to this or bow down to this pagan god. You see, they had great character, great strength. God has never desired that we give up our spirit. He's never desired that we give up our courage, that we give up our passion. He simply wanted to root out that rebelliousness within us. And that's what we have to do with our children. Which brings us to the fourth thought, and that is we need to learn to discipline attitudes, not just actions. In fact, I think that it's probably more important to discipline attitudes than actions. When our girls were little, on a few occasions, because I tried to model my parenting after how I felt God deals with us as his children. So there were some times our kids had done something wrong, our girls, and they'd come before me and you could see they were trembling, they were worried they were going to get a whooping or whatever. And I said to them, I took them in my arms and I said, baby, you know you did wrong. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. I know I did. And I'd say, baby, we're just going to leave it at that then, because I want to show you that I know you did wrong. You did know you did wrong. And I want to show you mercy. Now, it was funny in the future. Every now and again, when they'd get in trouble, they'd cry out, Daddy, call me mercy. Daddy, call me mercy. And what they were doing is they were pleading, and I was trying to impress upon them, God is merciful. And we can be merciful sometimes when our kids make mistakes, when they fall short, when they give in to peer pressure or other temptations in this life. But what I see sometimes in parents is they will discipline their kids for what they do, but then they'll let their children talk to them in the most absurd ways, the most disrespectful ways. We need to discipline attitudes, not just actions. And I'll tell you, it'll do our kids a great service. Because here's the thing, if there's something they don't like at work, their boss doesn't care if they're upset or moody about it. It's just going to hurt their relationship with everybody around them. The world doesn't care. So they have to learn to master their emotions. And I see folks all the time, they'll discipline their child, take something away, and that child will sulk. And that child will cross their arms and be in a bad mood. Let me tell you, we didn't allow that in our home. I remember vividly multiple times when our kids, when some punishment would come down, maybe they agreed, maybe they didn't, and they get moody about it. And Lenore and I would tell them, you've got 5 minutes. And when I look at you in 5 minutes, you better be in a good mood, A, or B, you better at least fool me to think you are. Because you're going to have mastery over your moods, you're going to have mastery over your attitudes, and this is a subtle rebellion against our will as your mom and dad. And I won't tolerate it. The punishment will be three times as hard if you can't master your attitude and the look on your face. Wipe that look off your face. You see, attitude, that spirit of humility versus that spirit of rebellion, the spirit of submissiveness rather than the spirit of selfishness, because that's what rebellion really is. It's self-worship. It's truly putting ourselves above everyone else. We have to root that out of our children. We don't want them to break their spirit. My kids have strong opinions, and we debate, and we argue, and they'll tell me sometimes that I'm wrong, but they're going to do it in a respectful tone, not in a rebellious tone. You see, as we look at this subject of the will versus the spirit, we want children that are as spirited, like mighty stallions, spirited, with all the potential in the world, with all the courage and the self-esteem that can be developed in them, but not rebellious. Because if your kids engage in the self-worship of rebellion toward you, then they will towards the courts, they will towards their employer, and they may towards God. So we break the will, but never the spirit. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you next time right here on Picture Perfect Parenting. God bless.